chapter 9. We're going to bring some thoughts and then like to break off into prayer, special prayer for Sister Renee, Brother Dwayne, Sister Linda. But in Mark chapter 9, it's a passage that we've preached many messages from, but in Mark chapter 9, we'll begin reading with verse 14. When he came to his disciples, Jesus has come down from the mountain. He saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Matthew and Luke also give record of this event. Prior to this, Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John up into a mountain. There he was transfigured before them, that is, he appeared in radiant glory before them. Then the three and Jesus come down from the mountain, and they come upon a scene of sin, sorrow, and suffering, scene of satanic influence and power. And in this scene, you have several groups of people. You have the scribes. You have the apostles who were weak and wavering at this time. You have this demoniac. You have the father of the demoniac who was greatly distressed. And then you have a multitude of people who were very perplexed at this time. So when the people saw Jesus, we're told in verse 15 that they ran toward him. And in verse 16, he asked the scribes what they were questioning the apostles about, which would have been the other nine. And before the scribes could answer the question, we read in verse 17 that one of the multitude answered. And then from Matthew's account, Matthew 17:14, we see that this man came kneeling down to Christ. So he's kneeling before Christ. And from verse 17 of our text, we see that this is the father of this demon-possessed son. So there he is, kneeling before Christ. And he tells Christ of how he had brought his son to the apostles in hope that they could deliver his son from the bondage and the control of this demon. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that as he told his story, he said that the apostles, they could not. That is, they obviously tried to cast this demon out, but they could not. So it was a situation beyond the power of man. It was really a hopeless situation. It was a impossible situation. But the one who is now on the scene, Jesus Christ, he of course is the answer to all that was going on at that time. So we want to speak briefly on encouragement from Jesus in the midst of abounding needs. All through the Gospels we see Jesus Christ ministering to the needs of great variety of people. But first of all, just consider the situation here. As you read the accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you see that this father describes in agonizing detail his son's condition. And his son was in a very horrible state. He was in a very grim condition. It was something that was absolutely devastating to his son's life and also to the father of this young man. It was a very woeful condition. And the root problem was is that this young man was under the control and of a demon. So he was in the bondage of satanic activity and influence, which of course is a very serious situation. And there's nothing in the natural realm that can fix satanic possession or demon possession. Medicine's not going to fix it. Might calm a person down to some degree, but it will not fix the problem. Man cannot fix this problem. Only the Lord can fix this problem of demon possession. Now, in his description of his son's condition, again, keep in mind he's kneeling before Christ as he describes his son's condition. He refers to the demon as a dumb or mute and deaf spirit. He also refers to the demon as foul, a foul spirit. That is, he was repulsive and loathsome. And the way you know the character of the demon is because of what he does in this man's life. He's also referred to as an unclean spirit. So from all of that, we see that the son, as a result of satanic bondage and influence, he's unable to speak. He is deaf, and he behaves in a very disgusting and repulsive way. Again, he, in describing the demon, he's also describing what the demon is doing in his son's life. In verse 18, referring to the demon that possessed his son, he said, "And wheresoever he," that is the demon, "taketh him." So the demon had complete control of this young man's life. He could just take him wherever he pleased. He was under the complete, absolute control of this demon. So he's under the dominion of the forces of hell. He's under the sway of this demon. Then we see further description of his son in verse 18. "Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away." And then he goes on to say how he requested of the disciples that they cast him out. So if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as a result of this demon, this man was in a very dreadful condition. He's in a condition of torment, great anguish of mind, absolute misery. Here's a young man whose life basically is being pulled to pieces. He teareth him. Pulled to pieces by this demon. He's broken. He's shattered. He acts like a mad animal. He's filled with fury. His life is filled with torment. And his father says he wasteth away. That is, physically, mentally, he's wasting away. Matthew says that he was insane. So this is a hopeless situation. The father has no control over this situation. The apostles couldn't fix the situation. It's a hopeless situation. It's an impossible situation. So here is a man in desperate need of a miracle. And you see these scenes all through the Gospels. And then you shift your attention from this young man and his father. And I'm sure that the father spent many sleepless nights wondering what he could do for his son. He no doubt had sought the help of many. I would dare say that the apostles were probably his last resort. He probably sought many different means of help. He himself had probably tried many different things to help his son. And then one day he hears that Jesus and the apostles are coming to town. So he, distressed and desperate, goes in hope for a miracle for his son. And when he gets there, Peter, James, and John, and Jesus, they're not there. They're up in the mountain. So this father decides to approach the other apostles on behalf of his son. And again, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this fact concerning the apostles. Though their accounts differ and what one says another doesn't and vice versa, they all had this and they could not. And they could not. I picture the apostles earnestly trying to cast out the demon. It doesn't say they would not. It says they could not. So obviously they tried. And I picture them laying hands upon this young man, perhaps praying over him. But the end result is this: they could not. They could do nothing to help this young man. And therefore, they could do nothing to help the father. So now the scribes, who are always looking for fault, they're mocking the apostles, asking questions, probably mocking the ministry of Christ. The multitude are discussing the chain of events. And there's the demon-possessed son, and he's still in his dreadful condition. Another effort to rid this man's son of the demon has failed. Again, I'm sure this was not the first effort that this father had made. So another effort has failed. And in our text, we see the father is before Christ, describing his son's terrible condition. And as you read that, you can see that he's in great turmoil. He himself is greatly pained and grief-stricken. He's weighted down with a crushing burden for his son. And he's disheartened because the apostles could not. He's discouraged. He's overwhelmed. And he's at the point of absolute despair. That being said, we find him kneeling before Christ. So for the first time, he is where he needs to be, kneeling before Christ. That's where we ought to always be. If you need a miracle, that's where you need to be, kneeling before Christ. And he's telling Christ all about it. Well, we want to notice the counsel that Jesus gives in verse 19. He answered him and said, O faithless generation. So he answered the father. He's talking to, but he's really speaking to the whole multitude. And said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Again, you have the scribes, they're mocking. The multitude, they're, most of them are just curious. The apostles, they're discouraged. There's satanic influence. There's the dreadful condition of the son. And there's the distressed and desperate father. So it's a very dire scene, but there's hope. There's hope because Jesus is there. And he is there, has the answer and remedy for everything that was going on that day. He was the answer and remedy for every individual and all their various needs. He was the answer. He was the remedy. That's still so today. That will always be so. There's really no need to look elsewhere. He is the answer. He is the remedy. So there stands Jesus. And he stands there greater than the forces of hell that have possessed this young man, greater than the inability of the apostles. They could not, but the one who's greater than their inability is there. So there he stands, greater than all the problems that were there, greater than all the trials, greater than the suffering of this son, and greater than the suffering of the father. Greater than the anguish, greater than the torment that father and son are experiencing. Greater than the distress that they were experiencing. Greater than the need that they were experiencing. So there he stands, and he speaks. And what he says is the solution. He says, bring him unto me. Four words. Bring him unto me. But two words really sum up that statement. Him, me. Him, me. Him is the situation. Me is the remedy. Bring him unto me. Just as he is. Doesn't say clean him up. Bring him unto me. That is, you bring him unto me just as he is. Just as he is. He's insane. He's a maniac. He's a madman. And Jesus says, bring him unto me. Just as he is. He's living a life of torment. He's living a life of anguish and misery. Bring him unto me. That demon would cast him into the fire, cast him into the water. So he was suicidal. He was self-destructive. Obviously on a path of ruin. And Jesus says, bring him unto me just as he is. You don't have to do anything. You bring him unto me. You don't have to try and fix him. Bring him unto me, just as he is. He's in bondage. He's under the control and sway of a demon. Bring him unto me, just as he is. He's broken. He's shattered. Acts like a mad animal. He's in a rage, wasting away. Bring him unto me, just as he is. Bring him unto me. It's an absolutely hopeless and impossible situation. And here's the instruction of the Lord. Bring him unto me. It is impossible to you. Bring him unto me. Because there's the answer. And again, this is still the Lord's instruction today. Bring him unto me, or bring it unto me. Him represents the situation, represents the problem, whatever it is. And Jesus' instruction is, bring it unto me. And we need to hear those words in light of the fact that there are needs, there are cares, there are burdens all the time. Right now, there are needs, there are cares, there are burdens. We all have them. And we need to hear the Lord say, bring it unto me, just as it is. You don't have to fix it first. Bring it unto me, just as it is. You don't have to put a robe on it to make it look better. Bring it unto me, just as it is. Need to hear those words in light of difficulties, in light of problems, in light of sorrows, in light of heartaches. We need to hear Jesus say, bring it unto me. Bring it unto me. Now this father, as he's kneeling before Christ and telling of his son's condition, it appears that he was very honest, forthcoming. He didn't try to make it less than what it was. He simply told Jesus the situation. And that's what we always need to do, is to just tell the Lord. And if you listen, the Lord will say, just bring it unto me. Bring it unto me. Need to hear those words in light of everything in our life. The father, of course, was very disappointed when the apostles could not cast the demon out. In the midst of all disappointments, bring it unto him. There's temptations, there's anxiety, there's clouds, there's storms. On and on we can go. And Jesus simply says, bring it unto me. Bring it unto me. Remember, the disciples, they could not. They tried, but they could not. And in verse 25, Jesus said to the dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. The evil spirit, the demon in a rage, threw the young man down to the ground again. And Matthew 17, verse 18 says that Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. He did what the apostles could not do. And he did so just speaking. And then we read, and the child was cured from that very hour. All Jesus had to do was speak. Still so today. Luke 9, verse 42, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again unto his father. And you can only imagine the joy that filled this father's heart. The anguish is gone. The distress is gone. Nothing but joy as the son is returned to the father and he's whole. So Jesus did what no one else could do. And that is still true today. The Lord, we all know it, the Lord can do what no one else can do. He's in control of all things. And we need to hear Christ say, bring it, whatever it is, bring it just as it is unto me. He's the answer. He's the cure. How do we do that? How do we bring whatever it is to the Lord? We do that in prayer. We take our position before the Lord, the position of a servant, the position of a subject. And we tell him the case. He already knows it, but you tell him anyway. Someone will say, well, why do we need to tell him if he already knows? Because it's good for us. It's good for us. And I believe the Lord takes great delight in hearing it from us. Pouring out our need, pouring out our burden unto the Lord. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, it's not a big thing, so I don't want to bother the Lord. You don't bother the Lord with anything. The Lord's not bothered by you and I coming to Him. In fact, I believe the Lord is greatly honored when you bring just the little bitty things to the Lord. That you would think enough just to bring the little things, what we consider little. Bring it unto me. And that's what we need to do. Need to do it every day. It's what we want to do tonight. As everyone knows, Sister Renee is in much need of prayer. We need to just bring her to the Lord. We want to do that tonight. We do it every day. Bring her to the Lord. Brother Dwayne needs answers. He needs answers as to what's the problem. And many of the doctors, like these apostles, they don't know. They don't know. But we know the one who does. And we know that he can lead to doctors who may know. So we bring him before the Lord. Sister Mary, her needs. Sister Linda, she's with her mom right now. And on we could go. Brother McGee, but bring it unto the Lord. So that's what we want to do tonight. If you can stay, the men will go back in the fellowship hall and